If you are ready for an amazing transformational experience, then you need to stay tuned for this next hour for a master's practice with Dr. Aisha Hogan. She is a leading specialist in holistic methodologies and the creator of a powerful integrative technique called enhanced energy communication. A master, clinical and metaphysical hypnotherapist, a well-respected author, a master of the mind, and highly sought international speaker. Get ready for a major breakthrough. And now, your soul guru, holistic transformational specialist, and host of A Master's Practice, Dr. Aisha Hogan.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan. And I want to welcome you right now to a master's practice, and I'm so glad that you're with me today. Once again, I'm excited about a new guest that I have with me today. Her name is Mel Savage, and she owns a company called Career Reset. I'm very happy to have her with me because as we're coming into the best potential of our lives, sometimes something that stops us is the work that we do. You know, is the work that we do speaking to us? Are we happy with what we do? So Mel, thank you so much for coming to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I would love for you to explain what does resetting your career mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but the way that I mean it is you really want to reset your approach, your mindset to your career. So, you know, for everyone that's different. It can be showing up differently for the job that you have right now. It can be, you know, going out and finding a new job. It can be just changing your career completely. But at the foundation of it, before you take those actions, it's really about establishing, you know, what's important to you and what do you need for your career. How do you want, rather, your career to align with who you are? And I think those are some questions that a lot of people get stuck with because they sound so huge. So what I really try to do is break it down and help people get clear about, you know, what it is that is important to them in for a career to actually align with their values, help them identify what their values are if they don't know what they are, and
right,
then go out and make the decisions to that are going for their career, the more tactical decisions for their career that once they understand what's important to them.
Awesome. So, because a lot of people are doing a job that, you know, they're doing it for the paycheck or maybe they're in an executive position, mm-hmm, but they're feeling stressed out by their job. So what exactly would you say that the sign is that it's time for them to reset their career?
You know, it's such a good question. I do this thing where I talk about, the four stages of breaking up with your career. I say,
that's,
you know,
awesome.
A lot of people, yeah. A lot of people, myself included, by the way, because I'm an ex-corporate lifer as well, will wait until stage four is what I call stage four before they take any action. But I would say that the stage one signs that your career is maybe not aligned with who you are is that you are kind of entering a more coping and toleration mode for your career.
Right.
Meaning, like, you know, you find yourself saying things like the word fine a lot. You know, I'm fine. You know, you're fine. She's fine. Yeah, she's behaving that way, but it's all fine. It's good, right? You're sort of pushing down what you really feel on an ongoing basis and thinking, you know, a lot of people think,
I can
handle this. I'm an adult now, right? This is what adults do. We put our big girl pants on. We go to work. It's not supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to just put up with it, right? A lot of people, especially people who, I wouldn't say especially, but even people who are, I would say, taking a more enlightened path, like really trying to think through like how they're showing up and what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, do that in their lives,
right?
But they sort of have this Chinese wall between their lives and their career, right?
Like, right.
Like their career is a separate thing where it's okay to be miserable a little bit,
right?
And because, you know, it's paying for the happiness in the rest of your life, right? Where you kind of go, you know, I don't work to live. I don't live to work. I work to live, right?
Right.
which I think is kind of a crock because there's no separation between living and working. Working is part of living, right?
Right.
So that's where I say the minute you start you see yourself tolerating, that's your first sign, because then toleration turns to frustration, turns to, you know, lots of ugly stuff, like lots of stress. You know, your performance starts to suffer. You stop showing up for your family. You stop having the patience to show up for your kids or your partner or yourself. And it's all downhill from there.
Which is exactly what we do in our personal lives, too.
Right.
We tolerate.
That's right. Right. Where, you know, I get it. Like, I love my mom. Sometimes I got to tolerate her. But, you know, that's a different, I wouldn't say it's a different thing, but it's all about mindset shifting. You can choose to tolerate your mom. You can choose to tolerate your job. You can choose to tolerate things. Or you can choose to understand, where's the opportunity here? What you really need to suss out for yourself, and this is where, you know, a coach or a mentor or someone to help you think objectively is great, is, you know, is this a mindset thing? Do I need to shift the way I'm looking at this opportunity or this person or this boss or this peer or this report, right? Or do I need to find a job that's better aligned with who I am? And I think the challenge is that people don't know what's important to them. They haven't really thought about who they are. So they have a challenge figuring out if the job is for them or not. And that's really I always say, like, what I do is kind of a mashup between life coaching and career management and bringing those two things together.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And I guess there's probably, maybe it's in one of your other three that you're going to mention now, but fear, fear of making that choice.
Yes, absolutely. I think fear of failure in general in people's lives is something everyone struggles with, whether it's fear that this recipe I'm working on is going to not be yummy, or, you know, fear of starting a new, maybe a health regimen, and if you don't finish it. There's tons of normal life fear of failures going on. But when it comes to your career, I find that the fear of failure gets amplified because it is directly linked to security, right? Because, you know, what you do for a living, you get a paycheck for that pays for your shelter and your food and your lifestyle, right? So your social standing, your self-worth, all of these things are so intrinsically linked to your career that the idea...
Can we ask what the other three are in the list?
Sorry, I thought I just lost you. I'm just going to continue this thought, and then the other three on the list is...
Okay.
You know, that's metaphorically what I'm recommending to people, is that you kind of want to just kind of press that reset button on your career, and it's resetting your mind, you know, resetting what you want and then going after it, right?
Right.
So when you say what the other three things are, I just want to make sure that I'm giving you the right answer of what I mean. What's your question? What are you referring to?
So you were saying there was four things that tell you that you need to reset, four signs that you have so we talked about tolerance.
Yes. Yeah. So the four signs you're breaking up that you need to break up with your career, four stages of career breakup. So the first one is toleration mode.
Right.
So for toleration and coping, then when it becomes tiring, so it becomes exhausting, right? So that's sort of stage two, where you come home from work really tired all the time. Like it happens all the time to everybody, but it's like more the rule versus the exception. You're always tired because what ends up happening is that you're expending so much mental energy just getting through the day that you are more and more tired all the time. Like the coping is not as easy as it used to be. And so you don't have the energy anymore to, like I said before, spend time with your kids, be patient for your husband or wife, right? Or your spouse, all those things. You don't go out on the weekends. These are all signs. Like you're too tired. You just want to hibernate. You don't want to talk to anybody. You stop taking care of yourself. These are, cause your coping has turned to this exhausting type of frustration. Then it kind of goes into, I would say, full on drained. Like you just aren't doing anything anymore. And then you go into what I call panic mode. Because at this point, when you're full on drained, first you take it out on your family, like you don't have time for them because you're giving it all to work. But then it starts to impact how you show up at work, right? So
right.
relationships at work to start to suffer, your performance starts to suffer, right? You're not showing up at 100% anymore, and people start to notice. And the irony of this whole thing is that a lot of people stay in a job that they don't love or that are not connected to because they think it's the quote-unquote responsible thing to do, right?
Right.
They're staying for, you know, because they've got the mortgage to pay or, you know, my spouse is doing this thing right now with their career, so I need to be stable. I'm just going to do this for 5 more years and then I can make the change I'm looking for, whatever it is. They think they're being responsible. But the irony is it's the least responsible thing you can do because ultimately your performance is going to start to suffer. And when you get to stage 4, which is panic, right? You start to panic like, oh my goodness, I've got to do something about this now. Sometimes that decision to break up with your job is not yours anymore because your job might be breaking up with you before you get a chance to decide whether yeah. you want to break up with your job, right?
Got it. Yep.
So that's where it's like, and that's where I was. Where, you know, before I left corporate, where I was just like, okay, this is, I need to do something here because I couldn't even get out of bed anymore. I wouldn't say that I was diagnosed depressed, but I certainly, in hindsight, looking back on it, was definitely depressed and it was affecting everything in my life, including my health, right?
Yeah. Yep. So now when you left the corporate world,
yeah.
And you started this new wonderful venture of the Career Reset.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the next question would be now when a person gets that panic mode and they've made a decision, because at this point you have to make a decision, hopefully.
Yeah.
How do they decide, like, how did you know, what steps did you take to say, this is what I want to do now?
Right. Good question. So first thing is, if you can, don't wait till you're in panic mode. It is, you know, unfortunately, as human beings, we just like, unless it's a crisis, we don't give anything attention, right? But
right.
Ideally, I would look at it like the minute you start to sense that things aren't going right for you, start to do some investigation into it. Like, don't wait until you got to go up a dress size. Just wait. If you can't do up your jeans, then, you know, start going on a diet, right?
Right.
Right, that sort of thing. So that would be the first thing I would say. Now, once you've decided, okay, I need to do something about this, but the question I often get is, I want to make a change, but I don't know what I want to do. I don't want to make things worse. And the reason people feel that way is because they don't really know what they want. So they're kind of
right.
making decisions blind. So the very first thing I say when I take people through my process or the methodology that I put together is, first, you got to get your mind screwed on straight. Right? Tony Robbins
right.
always says, success is 80% mindset.
Right.
You really need to take the time to sort of say, okay, I need to think about where I am right now. Because quite often when you're in this situation, you're not operating as your best version of yourself.
Right.
You are tired or whatever. And the goal I try to take people through is help them reconnect with that best version of themselves and their mindset. Then once they've reconnected, which you kind of, you know, there's a lot of things we talk about, you know, what you believe about yourself, what you think about failure, you know, how what you think and what drives what you feel drives, you know, your results, go through the whole
yeah.
positive psychology mentality around it. Just kind of getting them to open their minds, right? And that's not something that you can start and finish. It's just something that I want them to start doing, right? Start to get into the habit of doing. Because it's something, it's as you know, your mindset is something that's a practice
yes.
for the whole of your life. It's not something that you can check off your to-do list. Right?
No. We're always constantly growing. Absolutely. And yes.
Right. But it's just sort of opening up that process for them to reconnect with their best self. Then from there, what we work on is knowing what they want. And knowing what they want is first reconnecting with their strengths, there's values, and there's really identifying what I call their want-to job. So the want-to job versus the have-to job, right? What
right.
their want-to job looks like. So, you know, strengths is a little bit different. There's a gentleman named Marcus Buckingham, and he has a great attitude, a great philosophy around strengths that I really subscribe to. And it's that your strengths are not what you're good at. Your strengths are what makes you feel strong.
Nice.
Whether you're good at them or not.
Right? Right.
So when you're doing them, you know, you lose time. You are, you know, you're so into it. You have more energy after you've done it than when you started doing it. Like, it's those things that you just like look forward to doing on your to-do list, right?
Would you call it tedious things? Will that be something that you would call your passion?
Well, you know, when it comes to your career, I think passion's overrated, to be honest, because that really trips people up. They think passion is this like thing, this massive thing on a pedestal that if it's not clear to them, then they don't have one. But so, you know, it could be called a passion as long as you take away this aura of a passion is like this huge, massive thing.
Right.
It's like, it's just something that makes you feel strong. It makes you feel good when you're doing it. Right. And on the flip side of that, your weaknesses are not necessarily things that you're not skilled at. Your weaknesses are things that make you feel weak or that suck your energy. And I always just use this example. Like, I was, I don't know, a really great math student when I was young. I was always in like the, you know, accelerated mathematics programs. And, you know, my mother wanted me to be a chartered accountant, and I was almost going to go there. But you know what? Math, as much as I was good at it, I was skilled at it, I hated doing it. It made me feel weak. I could suck my energy and be like, ugh. And I can rock a spreadsheet like nobody's business, but I do not love it at all.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a weakness. It's not a strength. So that's sort of the mindset shift. So what I do with people is rather than, because that's where a lot of people get caught up, I don't know what my passion is. Don't worry about your passion. Focus on the areas that make you feel strong. And, you know, that's the very first thing we do. Then
let me stop you on the then for a second. Hold on to that for a second, because I do believe we have to go to a break.
Okay.
So let's go to our break. I want to thank you for coming to a master's practice so far. We've got more for you. Stay tuned. Every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 Pacific Standard. Be here. Now stay tuned. We've got more yummy stuff for you.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Are you ready to live your life depression-free? Are you having thoughts of ending things? Wondering what life would be like without chronic pain? How about no longer suffering the effects of trauma and PTSD? Are you tired of having your credibility questioned because you look fine and no one understands that you are struggling with an invisible disorder? Hi, I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan and I'm a holistic transformation specialist. I work with clients from all over the world to aid them in eliminating, that's right, you heard me, eliminating their current struggles and challenges. I don't work with symptoms. That's like putting a band-aid on a gunshot wound. I'm all about root cause and all the levels of you, as each one of us is unique. Ready to transform your life for good? To move into the best version of yourself and reach your unlimited potential? Then book your complimentary 1-hour online consultation with me by going to www.aishahogan.com That's AYSEHogan.com. And it will take you right to my clinic, the Chakra House of Healing. I look forward to meeting you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi there. Oops. Hi there, and welcome back to A Master's Practice. Today we have Mel Savage with us from A Career Reset. So it's not always just about our personal lives, but it's about, do we love what we do? So when we went to break, Mel, you were talking about strengths and weaknesses. And then right. We're going to move on to the next thing, which was, you know, we're talking about right now about how do we choose our, how do we reset our career, reset it into what? So how do we figure that out?
So, yeah, as I was saying, first, it's about reconnecting with your best self and starting that process anyways. And then second stage is really about knowing what you want. And within that stage of knowing what you want, identifying your strengths, as we talked about before the break, and really understanding what you value. That was sort of the next thing, which is people don't really know what they value. I said, you know, 9 out of 10 times when I ask them what your values are, they sort of go, family? that's sort of the static answer. But they don't necessarily, not only not understand what their values are, not really attached to them or clear about them, but they don't know how to use them in their lives or what they mean, what kind of territory they provide, you know? So, like, you and I might both have a value of growth as a value.
Right.
But what you might define as growth might be completely different than me.
Right.
How growth, you know, how you use growth to provide guideposts in how you live your life might be completely different to me. So really getting clear on that. So defining what your values are and getting clear on that. And then I take people through what I call this want-to career analysis, which, you know, a lot of people, when they think about, you know, a career, the perfect career for them, they think about the role, you know, what is the job? And I, to a certain extent, I understand that because, you know, you need to not, the role is what you do every day. And it's also what you need to prove you can do when you're looking for a job.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that's not all it is, right? There's a lot of other factors associated with, what it takes to love your job, you know, your dream job, let's call it, right? So it's all about the role, but it's also about the people, the location of the job, like how far do you have to commute to this job? How much do you travel? All that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
The environment. So it's about, you know, I'm talking about the physical environment, right? That affects us as well. Environmental stress is a big thing. Like, what do you have to wear to work? What kind of office environment is it? Or is it communal? Do you have your own space? Is there light? Are you in a basement? Like, all these kinds of things play a role,
right.
Seriously, in how you...
No, it's,
you know,
true.
And how and what's important to you, like, as entrepreneurs, and you and I well know this, it's a very solitary existence. You really have to, you know, especially when you're starting a small business at the beginning, you don't have people around you all the time. But if you're someone who needs people around you all the time, that can be really tough. You need, and that can cause some stress. You need to think about the environment. You know, the lifestyle it provides you is a big part of the job. Meaning,
right.
How much time, you know, it's not just about money either. It's about, you know, your lifestyle, where you live, how you live, how much time you get to spend at home versus work, how you manage that, all of those things. You know, the culture of the work environment you are in. Obviously, the compensation structure, which I think in the United States, too, is a big deal because, you know, they have, I know I'm Canadian, but, you know, health benefits are a big deal in the U.S., you know,
right.
Not to mention the pay and all the other benefits or long and short-term incentives. You want to think about that. And then the alignment. How does this job really align overall with who you are and what you want for your life? So there's so many things to consider. And I call them the 8 cornerstone categories for career happiness. And you really need to define within those categories, you know, what do you want? What's your ideal state? you know?
Right.
So if you, it's for people, what kind of people do you want to work with? What kind of boss is ideal for you? Peers, reports, kind of leader you want to be, all those kinds of things. And you might not get all those things. I always talk about it like going to buy a house. You know, you have this list of things you want when you go buy a house. That's more about, that's more than just about the house.
Right.
You know, it's, yes, you want a house that has this many bedrooms or this many bathrooms or whatever, but it's also about the location of the house and the school district and your neighbors and, you know, long-term appreciation potential, all these kinds of things that you think about when you buy a house. It's the same with a job, and there's always going to be trade-offs. You're not going to get everything on your list. You're not going to
Absolutely.
Tick all the boxes. But which boxes are the most important to you? And you can't make that decision until you really understand who you are. And that's where the values and the strengths and that piece of it kick in. So once you know who you are, then you can go on to putting a plan together.
That's awesome. And you almost probably want to think about it like a traffic light, right? So your red light is going to be all of your deal breakers, things that you absolutely do not want in this job. And then your green light is going to be all of the things that you absolutely want, like the things that you just listed. And then the amber is going to be your trade-offs, right? Like what is okay to trade off as long as that you have enough of the green?
That's right. Exactly. But you have to make those decisions, right? And a lot of people don't take the time to do this kind of work, right? They just sort of drift from one job to another. I call it the fingers crossed mentality, right? So it's sort of like, you know, fingers crossed, if I work hard every day and I put my head down, my boss is going to take care of me. Or fingers crossed, you know, this job I'm applying for is going to be good for me. But they don't even know what's good for them. They don't really even know what they want.
Do you think that has a little bit to do with, and I don't know if you would, in your, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting over a cold, everyone. self-doubt and self-esteem.
Oh, yeah. I mean, self-esteem. It impacts everything, right? And certainly your career as well. I think it's just scary. Like, this kind of stuff, digging into this kind of stuff, like what you value and what makes an ideal want-to career for you, is stuff that can sometimes feel, people are intimidated to answer these questions, because they think it's going to be digging into some scary stuff or whatever, but it's not. Like, you just, it's like with anything. I was watching CNN yesterday, which is not good for the soul, I'll give you that. But not these
nope.
days, anyways. But this gentleman was talking about a book, and he said something great that I think applies to everything, and we all know this, but, you know, change, he was talking about political change. He was talking about, you know, creating change in the political environment in the United States. But he said that change starts at the bottom, starts from the ground up, not the top down, right? And his point was that if the people of the United States want to create change, they will speak. And if they speak, then the politicians will, you know, adjust their focus. And I think that's true of anything, right? If you want to create change, you need to start from the ground up.
Yep.
And that's going to create clarity. And you don't have to take big steps. I always say to people, I have a formula, because I'm a math student, as we covered. The formula for momentum is small steps plus consistency multiplied by wins. So take small, tiny steps. Like, it doesn't matter how small they are, as long as they're making you a teeny bit uncomfortable, but not so uncomfortable that you won't do it. Okay, so if you are going to start a new eating regimen, let's say,
right.
You don't have to start it all tomorrow. You could just start with drinking another glass of water every day. And if that's all you can do, just do that, but do it consistently. And the consistency part is about integrity, right? Don't say you're going to do anything that you won't do. So if you say, all I can do for sure is drink one more glass of water every day, okay, but you have to do it, right? You have to commit to yourself that you're going to do it. So that's the consistency part. And then the wins is just not a huge honking celebration or anything, but it's just, you know, recognizing that you're trying it, you know, that you're moving forward, recognizing and congratulating yourself on, yeah, I did it. I drank that glass of water. Yay. Or even, I noticed I didn't drink that glass of water, but I'm going to, I'm going to do it.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because I always, when I'm talking to my own clients, I'm always saying it's like, think about it like a baby walk. You know, baby gets up, takes a few steps, falls down, gets up, takes a few steps, falls down. It's not like every, you're not a light switch. It's not like every single time you try it, it's going to be perfect. But if that child, if that child got frustrated and said, that's it, I keep falling down and I'm not going to walk anymore, we'd all be like scraping around on our butts.
Which, okay, we're not too far from that these days, I feel like.
Like you have to be okay with the times that you fall.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge, right? You know, that's one of the things I talk about with my clients when we talk about reconnecting with your best self is failure. You know, it's okay to fail. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not personal. And the problem is we all take failure so personally. I do it, still do it. Like, I still struggle with it. Just because I talk about it doesn't mean I don't have to think about it. But I fail a lot better. Like, I fail a lot easier.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with ego, right? We have that voice in our head that we're fighting with anyways. And it sort of takes that time that we didn't do it right and goes, see, I told you. I told you you couldn't do it.
That's right. And really, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say failure. I always say failure is a process error. So if you can, which is the hard part, right? So, like I said, it's always a work in progress. But, you know, when you fail, it's not about – failure means that something failed, not that you're a failure.
Right. What went wrong?
Yeah, it's a process there. Like, something failed in your approach. Take a look at it. Try to be, like, emotionally detached from it and just say, okay, well – next time I'm going to add more salt to this recipe, or next time I talk to my boss, I'm going to listen better or listen to more what she's looking for. Try to go to a level two listening where I really focus on what she's not saying and try to read between the lines. It's just constantly, you know, thinking about the ways you can improve it. Like, you know, if we did this interview again tomorrow, if I listen back to this interview and we do it again tomorrow, I know that I would do it better than I am today. Okay.
So. Okay. Right.
Yeah,
definitely. So if let's say someone's already in a job and, you know, they don't want to change their job. They don't want to leave the company that they're with because maybe it does check off a lot of boxes for them, but it still has that feeling of like, how could somebody inside the job that they have already become back in love with their job?
That's a great question. So the first thing, it's the same thing. It's really identifying how are you thinking. It all comes back to how you think. Everything goes back to how you think. And assessing, am I thinking to get the results I want? So just come back to you first.
Okay.
So if you are, you know, always come back to what you can control first. So if it's about, you know, how am I showing up for this job and am I showing up as the best version of me? And if not, why not? It's really kind of get through it, you know. If every time you see your boss, a boss that maybe you're not getting along with, for instance, who's making your job difficult, you know, one of the number one reason, not one of the number one reason that people leave their job is because of a manager, a bad manager, quote unquote bad manager, right? And it's because there's a lot of bad managers out there because companies don't train people to be good leaders. It's something that you do through trial and error over time. And, you know, so you're bound to run into a quote unquote bad manager.
Right.
But so how are you thinking about that bad manager? Every time you see that person's name, are you thinking, ugh, I don't want to talk to that person? Are you thinking, they said this bad thing to me yesterday? Or, you know, what are you thinking? So if you're thinking that, of course, every time you talk to this person, you're going to have a bad experience. The result you're going to get is going to be reinforcing how you already feel. But if you think things like, I want to build a relationship with this person, I need to find the best way to get along with this person, I know that I can conquer this, everything is fixable. Like, finding these kinds of things to think about is going to create much different results for you and much different, you know, feelings, much different results for you than if you were thinking the other way. And so I always say to people, let's first explore how you're thinking and showing up. What kind of results are you getting and why are you getting them based on what you're thinking?
Right.
Then we need to explore. Same thing. You know, what do you want? What are your values? What are you looking for? What are your strengths in terms of what makes you feel strong? And explore what parts of your job, your current job, are giving you that and not giving you that. And then you need to decide, you need to make some conscious trade-offs, because sometimes, again, what people do is we focus on what's missing versus what's working.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So once we go through this exercise, if you find, you know what, actually, there's like 10 things here that are working and only one thing that's really not working. And you know, this one thing that's not working, I'm like fixating all my energy on that. I'm going to stop fixating my energy on that. That could be a way forward, you know,
right.
Kind of refocusing your energy. Or if this one thing that's not working is like massive, then maybe you can dig into figuring out how you can make it work. Can you delegate certain jobs? Can you take things off your plate? Can you make a lateral shift so that you don't have to work with a certain person, you know, after trying to figure out how to work with that person, obviously. But, you know, it's like anything else. You got to peel back that onion, find out where the problem is, and then go to work at it.
Excellent. Yep, absolutely. So we were going to take another break now on a master's mm-hmm. practice. Please stay tuned. We've got some tips and strategies and some more wonderful information for you coming up. Be back with you very soon.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. So I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hi there, and welcome back to A Master's Practice. Please join us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and or 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today, we're here with Mel Savage from The Career Reset. So as many of you know, many times when we're my guests, we're talking a lot about personal growth. Well, part of our personal growth is also our work. Part of our personal growth is, you know, are we doing the thing that brings us joy every single day when we go to work? So that's why I brought in Mel today. And Mel, you also have a, among having a new podcast, which is awesome. I'd love to hear about that. But you mm-hmm. also have a sort of a, is it a one-stop? There's a free course.
Remember, yes, I have a few courses. So absolutely, I think the biggest challenge, like I said before, that people have is I don't know what I want to do. That's
right.
The number one question. Like even people who are in jobs right now, because I deal with a lot of, you know, professional people who are already doing whatever they think they should be doing, but their lives have changed. They're like, I don't know what I want to do next. And by the way, like I'd say 70% of the time they end up staying where they are and just changing how they think about it.
Right.
But answering that question, what do I want to do, is a big one. So what I've done is on my site at thecareerreset.com, There is in the menu bar, it says free course, and it's a free 8-day course to help you get clear on what you want to do.
And it really
highlights a lot of the things I talked about. So understanding your strengths, digging into your values, getting clear on your want-to career. Like, those are things that I think everybody needs to do. And I don't want to put that behind a paywall. So I think people really need to, that alone is, you know, can help a lot of people. And I got into this whole thing because I want, you know, I always think about how can I change the world? Again, you can change it from the ground up, right?
Right.
And my thing with the world is I want to help people have less stress at work, because if you're a less stressed out work person, you're going to be nicer to everybody else. You're going to have a more fulfilled life, and that's going to be richer for the world. So I want to make sure people know what they want to do, and I don't want to make it hard for them to do that.
Right. That's awesome. That's 8 days, guys. That's amazing.
That's pretty good. And I put a lot into it. So you're going to get a lot of stuff. I also have a paid membership, you know, that takes you from start to finish, like, you know, getting reconnecting with your best self, knowing what you want, building your career plan, like all the different pillars of your career plan, which I take people through, building a personal brand plan, building their support network, building their growth plan, et cetera. And then how do you go out and get it? So resume, interview, networking, all that stuff is in there as well. But at the crux of it, knowing what you want is the starting place.
And that's the important place. And I'm glad that you've joined us today. So one of the interesting things, actually, what would you say right now, besides people taking your free course, is in this moment, if you were going to say to someone, here's a tip or a strategy that you can practice right now in this second while you're listening or right when we're done, what would that be?
Gosh, there's just one. There's so many.
Okay. Okay, well, you can give them three if you like.
All right. So the first thing I would say is change your perspective on career happiness. Career happiness is not a destination. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
So just like eating well is a lifestyle or exercising a lifestyle, happiness is a lifestyle. Got it. And that goes for your career, not just your non-career life. Okay?
Right.
That's the first thing. Second thing is I'd say get really clear on how you're thinking right now. And how what you're thinking is driving your results. So, you know, if you want to change your results, you got to change your mind. That's what I always say to people. So get really clear about what you're thinking about work. Kind of zero in on those areas that are really problematic for you right now, and start really dissecting all the thoughts you have. And start thinking, okay, what if I thought differently about this? How would I think differently? What would I think differently?
Right.
And I think the other thing in terms of taking back control of your career that I can give people is you need to build a plan for you that's all about you. Okay, because a lot of companies will suggest that you build a career plan or help you build a career plan, but it's always about them, like how you would grow in that company.
Right.
And so what I recommend to everyone is, even if it's just like, it doesn't have to be a fancy schmancy kind of plan that I help people build with all the bells and whistles, you know, just even start with, you know, what do I want? What are my options? How do I want to start getting it? Just even that simple. And you can include your current 9-to-5 or job or career into that plan, but don't make it just about your current job. Prioritize your own career over your work. That's what I would say to people.
Right. That's awesome. That's really great information. And for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, you really need to go to the Career Reset and check out this website, because I've been on it for the first time today and it's loaded with lots of great information. The other thing is, how would people get a hold of you, Mel?
Well, what I always say to people, so first of all, you can check out my podcast. It's on all the different podcast channels. It's called The Career Reset. I give a lot of great free information there as well. You can connect with me at thecareerreset.com, or you can just email me. I always say, you know what, just email me, mel@thecareerreset.com. Ask me a question. Tell me what's going on with you. We'll find the right solution.
That's awesome. So She has a lot of great information. There's one piece of information that I did not give you guys right from the beginning because I didn't want it to cloud anything. Not that it would, but I just didn't want to. So Mel is also my sister. So the real reason that I wanted to bring her on here was because I wanted to let you know that, you know, although we're sisters, we're actually even neighbors, although that we're very different individuals, but what mm-hmm. she does is powerful. And she helps people in a way that I don't. So I have my way of dealing with people on a personal level, but people also have to love what they do every single day. And was one of my reasons for wanting to bring her onto this today, onto a master's practice, because your practice, your life is not just about, like she said, your life every day. It's also about the place that you go every day. It's the career that you have. It's something that when you look in the mirror, you say, hey, I love my life as a whole, not just pieces of it. What is your most favorite tips to give to people, Mel? Like when I say tips, I mean like life tips. Mm-hmm. You've given a lot of career stuff, but as a, you know, being that you are so, we're very different, but what would you say your best life tips are to give to people?
My goodness. So first of all, they probably forget we're sisters because we sound exactly the same. And we laugh exactly the same. Okay, my biggest career tips, I would say, these are the ones that I'm working on right now, okay?
Okay.
Be nice to yourself. Just, you know, be nice. Treat yourself with kindness. Second one, help others. Always be in service to others. That's the biggest thing that I can say. And especially even in your career, that's when we stop helping other people for some reason. We're great about opening the door at the Walmart, you know, but we're not great about, you know, helping someone that needs help at work. We kind of get a bit insular into our own egos. So help, be in service to others all the time. Be kind to yourself. And this has been my motto since forever. You can achieve whatever you decide you can achieve. So, you know, if you decide that you can only, do I have time for like a tiny story?
Of course you do. Yeah, really quick one. Yeah.
Okay. So I used to always say to myself that I would be I always make a great number two. Like I'm always like that person behind the leader who makes them look great. I used to always say that to myself. And I think that was an incredibly limiting thing to say to myself.
Yes.
Because I make a great number one. I'm a fantastic number one. But you achieve what you decide you can achieve. So decide something awesome and then go after it.
And then what would you say to those, like when I think of those people now that we all sort of aspire to be, that guy who's like climbing the ladder and stepping on everybody's head on the way.
Yeah.
And we look at them and say, I want to be that guy. But do you? You know, what would make you better than that? Or how do you not feel intimidated by that guy?
Well, again, it's about being kind to yourself and believing in yourself. I mean, the guy who's stepping on everybody, he's got his own thing going on. And you need to stay in your own lane, okay? Just stay in your own lane. I'm not saying put your head down and do your work because that doesn't work either. You need to network. You need to be out there. You need to be doing it. But you need to be doing it your way. And you can be the CEO, if that's what you wanted to be, you can be a CEO of any company. You can even have one of your core values be money and wealth. That's okay too, okay? No problem. If it's true to you, be true to you. You have to live your truth. That's all I would say to you is don't worry about the guy stepping on people. Live your truth, be yourself, and go for it.
And don't limit yourself. I think a lot of people do that too, right? They're like, I could never be that guy.
Right. Absolutely. And you can be whatever guy you want to be. You can be whatever gal you want to be.
Yeah.
Right. do whatever you want to do. Don't limit yourself. There's this other thing. I used to be the chairman of a women's leadership network at a company I used to work for. Chairperson, sorry, not a chairman. And one of the big things that women don't do is they don't sit at the table. Actually, this comes from what's her name? Cheryl Sandberg, who wrote Lean In. One of the things she says in her book is sit at the table. So meaning we'd sit at the boardroom table all the time and the women would sit at the side if there wasn't enough seats and the men would sit at the table. Get your butt to that table, girl.
It's true. You know? I've walked it. I was on. I'm like politically illiterate, as you know, and I was part of in the corporate world once upon a time too. Before I decided to do what I'm doing, and that was a huge career reset for me, like massive. But I had to be a part of a board, and I remember being part of that board, going, "I can't be here because everybody's saying what everybody else wants to hear, and I'm so not that person." You know, I say, because I speak on behalf of the people and not on behalf of the company. And it was something that I had to realize about myself and excuse myself from that board, because it wasn't a board that I could sit on, because they were so worried about the company and didn't care how it would affect the people.
Right.
And I guess it's also realizing who you are.
That was certainly a skill set that I needed to adapt. You know, we had the same dad who would just say whatever the heck was on his mind. Didn't matter what the audience felt about it, right?
Right.
So I had a really great coach once who said to me, it's okay to not agree with people. It's okay to have a different perspective, but you need to say things in a way that people can hear it.
Yeah.
And I think that was a really big skill that I learned a bit later than I would have liked to have learned it, but I still learned it. That's the key.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, if I want to speak for the people, I need to say it in a way that the people who don't care about the people can hear it. So what's important to them, and how can I make what's important to me relevant to what's important to them? That's a learned behavior for me.
No, well, it's a learned behavior for me too. It's a learned behavior for a lot of people. So I would say to those people who are listening before we end the show today, own your decisions. Don't sit back and say that this is happening to me, because everything that you are doing is a choice that you have made, whether it's in your personal life or in your career life. So if you're in a place where you are not happy, own it. What can you do to change it? Get the people that can help you. And take charge and control of your life. That's really the main thing.
Well said. Be at the cause of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think as a whole, we've learned to deflect. It's always someone else's fault.
Yeah.
Own it. Just own
it. Take control. Take control of your career. Take control of your life.
Absolutely. So I want to thank you, Mel, for coming today and sharing your wisdom, and you do have a lot to offer, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that you were here to show people that, because a lot of people do work on their personal life and put their career on the back burner, or vice versa. And if you're gonna be if you wanna be your best potential, think of yourself as the whole, all the different compartments and aspects and departments, so to speak, of you. And you can shine in all of them. And then you're going to feel like, hey, I'm going to leave this world a better place than I found it, because I'm shining. And that's awesome. So once again, I'm going to thank you for coming. I'm going to thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming to A Master's Practice. And join us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. Thanks for joining us, and see you again next week, or see you again. Listen for me again next week.
Well done.